Happy last day of summer. We're not so happy last day. That's what I was thinking. So thank you all. It's so wonderful to see a full room today in another installment of our Perspective series. This series, as many of you know, features cabinet directors, members of Governor DeWine's administration, and senior staff. And we talk about initiatives and projects across state government, across the enterprise. And our topics also focus on diversity, too. Before we get started, I wanted to recognize a few other members of Governor DeWine's cabinet that are here in support today. General Ashenhurst, Director of the Department of Veterans Services. Thank you, General. I see Kevin Miller, our good friend Kevin Miller, Director of the Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities. And I saw Director Murnix come in, our budget director, Director of Budget Management. A great supporter of this series. Thank you all so much for being here and bringing your teams. We really appreciate it. Our guest today will be leading a very important and informative discussion on education and facilitating success for all Ohio learners. Governor DeWine's initiatives in this area really focus on his value of making sure all Ohioans have an opportunity to succeed in whatever they want to choose to do so that they can fulfill their God-given potential. And I'm so happy to have two very important guests here with me today. Before I begin, I wanted to point out the display in the lobby. It's brought to us by our partners at the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission. And because this month is focused on education, they've brought us a display of unique, innovative learning environments on projects that they've completed across Ohio. So be sure to check it out. I think it's super interesting, and I think you'll all love the pictures. And I'm also pleased to be a member of the commission. I'm vice chair of the commission, and I'm proud to showcase their work. September is such a busy month. There are lots of initiatives, particularly related to diversity. And I just wanted to take a minute and focus on a few of those important months. The September month that focuses on Deaf Awareness Month and Hispanic Heritage Month, which began September 15th. September 15th marks the independence of five Latin American countries, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. The designated period is also a nod to those from Mexico and Chile, which celebrate their independence on September 16th and September 18th, respectively. So today I am pleased to welcome our two special guests, very busy, and we were really appreciative of you making time in your schedule, to share information on statewide strategic efforts to facilitate success for all Ohio learners. I hope you are as excited as I am to hear about the work being done in their agencies to provide Ohio students with the best possible educational opportunities for their future. Please join me in welcoming Interim Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Stephanie Siddons from the Ohio Department of Education. And Chancellor Randy Gardner from the Ohio Department of Higher Education. So before we begin with our question and answer type format today, I thought I would give each of them a moment to introduce themselves and their agencies to you. So Dr. Siddons, would you like to start?
Thank you, Director Madden, and so good to see everyone in the room today, and lots of familiar faces, so great to be here. So the Ohio Department of Education, we support children preschool through grade 12, and we have over 1.7 million children in the state of Ohio that we are supporting. We have over 240,000 educators across the state, and so we have a lot of important work that we're doing. We are doing a lot of important work relative to helping schools and communities support students and families, and we especially want to do that more than ever right now because of the impacts of the pandemic. We have a lot of impacts academically with mental health needs as well. We know we've all been impacted, but students have a lot of impacts as well. The areas of work in the agency, they're probably a longer list than I can go through, but we do have a focus on student supports. which includes a lot of our supports for vulnerable student populations. We also support educational options and performance and impact and continuous improvement, teaching, leading, and learning, and advancing professional supports are among some of what we do. Our agency partners with a lot of other state agencies, and I cannot stress enough that kind of a theme you'll be hearing from me is that partnerships are more important than ever right now to support schools. But at the agency level, we work closely with a lot of other child-serving agencies, such as Job and Family Services, Health, Mental Health and Addiction Services, Veteran Services. We also work with Ohio Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities and Chancellor Gardner and the Department of Higher Education, because it's so important to connect pre-K through 12 with higher education as well. I will just say briefly that we have a lot of strategic priorities right now that are really focused on supporting children and families given the impacts of the pandemic. So we kind of have a set of guiding principles that guide our work. We, you know, believe in our students. We know that they need to have a lot of support, but they are resilient, and in spite of the pandemic, with the right interventions and supports, they will be able to grow. We also know that the time is now for us to act urgently to support children. And again, this theme of partnership is so important because schools cannot do this alone. So that's why we want to be a support at the state, regional, and local level for schools, and then we want to learn and adapt in what we're doing. Our key priorities are around literacy, workforce readiness, accelerating learning, and student wellness, and I'll just say a few words about each before I turn it back to Director Madden and have Chancellor have his chance to talk about things. But with literacy, you know, reading is fundamental, and we know that children need supports to develop and grow in terms of literacy. We know what works in literacy, and schools are doing a lot right now to support children. We have a great plan in Ohio's plan to raise literacy achievement. If any of you are interested, we have the plan on our website. But it really supports a birth through higher education approach to literacy, and that is something so critical. We also, with accelerating learning, are focused on making sure that children have support even beyond just the school day. So thinking about tutoring, after school opportunities are some examples. And then in terms of workforce readiness, we know we need to focus students on what's next after graduation. And so for us, it's really also thinking about how business education partnerships can play a key role in supporting schools. And then with student wellness, we have a lot of really great partnerships, again, with Mental Health and Addiction Services, Director Lori Chris, but we're very focused on mental health supports, and we know that school safety is very important as well. So those are some of our key priorities. I'll just say also, I've been at the department now for 17 years. I don't know how that happened, but I've now been serving as interim state superintendent for about a year. The department has been an area of love for me. I've been doing this work a while, and supporting children and families is a key priority for me. So I'll stop there and turn it back to you.
I know it's a lot. I actually had a tour there with Director Murnick, so we know the vast work that's being done at the department, and thank you so much. Chancellor, it's your turn.
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here with Dr. Siddons and with you. We're four or five cabinet members in the room together and all these state employees, and I was told that you weren't even entitled to a stipend to attend to listen to us, that you actually still came anyway, which is remarkable to me, by the way. Look, I'm just honored to be a member of this cabinet, to work with this governor and lieutenant governor and team. When I was appointed, or about to be appointed, that late afternoon, I was home and I told my oldest son that I was going to become chancellor. And he said, "What's chancellor?" And I described a little bit. And he goes, "How long is that term for?" And I served for 33 years in the House and Senate, 2 year and 4 year. And I said, "Well, it could be a week." And because truly, when you work at the pleasure, you know, and he said, "You signed up for that?" True story. Some of you have heard it before. But I'm so glad I did, and I'm so glad the governor gave me the privilege of serving in this capacity, because you do wake up every day thinking about that you serve at the pleasure of the governor. And our first cabinet meeting, he said, "We listen carefully, to the people of the state, and then we act with a sense of urgency to serve the people of the state. Never forget that. Every day, wake up thinking about that. But about the department, what I'm amazed, even though I spent all that time in the legislature, I didn't have an appreciation for the breadth and depth of all that the Department of Higher Education does. Knew a little bit about it, maybe as much as most legislators perhaps, but still learned a lot very early on. And as one of my vice chancellors says, to summarize what we do, you can get a GED to a PhD and everything in between. That was former Senator Gary Cates, by the way, in the front row. But the Aspire program, this is one I learned more about. The Aspire program provides support for GED or high school diplomas to upwards to 750,000 Ohioans who don't have one yet. 750,000, think of that. And that's the fundamental first building block to a successful career in life. And so we're here to do that. We're located all over the state. It's called the Aspire program, Senior Vice Chancellor Cates leads that for our department. But of course, we also have technical centers, adult career centers, community colleges, four-year public, four-year independent institutions, all the way up through advanced research, cutting-edge international-based research programs. In fact, the first time that we had to gather as an administration to help prevent a major company from perhaps leaving the state was actually based on not a credential or technical degree, but was actually on needing more PhDs in chemistry. That became public. We got Baldwin Wallace and Case and Cleveland State and others in Northeast Ohio together to work with the company to make sure we produced more PhDs in chemistries. It just shows, again, the breadth of the entirety of what we offer people in the state. 187 campuses around the state, a lot of campuses, a lot of different types of institutions that serve. And just the need is this. It's basically to have an all-of-the-above approach, and the governor has used that phrase before, that we have an all-of-the-above approach. We need to help people get their GED. We need to help people with their technical skills, upskilling, reskilling, things like Tech Cred and things like Choose Ohio First and all kinds of programs that specifically try to assist students. So I'm just excited to be in a position to work with the governor and lieutenant governor and to really... To find a way to meet the workforce challenges and needs, and today, more than ever, talk about Ohio on the trajectory toward a stronger workforce and economy. That's going on all over the state, and this is the most workforce-focused administration. And I've been in Columbus for quite a few years, 37, and I've not seen an administration that's this focused on the workforce, this focused on working to meet the needs of the emerging economy. So if you want to learn more about the department, highered.ohio.gov, you can learn more about us. But I'm honored to be here and to have partnered and speak once or twice a week, it seems lately, because there's so much interaction needed to make sure we're serving Ohioans with the Department of Education. So thanks for having me.
Both. So my first question is to you, Chancellor. As I mentioned, this series allows us to focus on major projects and initiatives of the cabinet agencies, as well as highlight diversity. And I've heard you talk about diversity of opportunity before. Could you tell me a little bit about what you mean when you say that?
Thank you. Yes, diversity of opportunity to me means we have so many different options, so many different pathways for students to succeed. And that part of our charge, I believe, as a department and as a state government, is to make sure that Ohioans have the information they need to make the best choices, the best decisions they can. So the diversity of opportunity is somewhat akin to our travel and tourism theme. Find it here. So anywhere in Ohio, if you want to find it here. Well, when I think of higher education in Ohio, we have more institutions than many states, but we also have that diversity of the type of degrees, occupations, passions you can pursue at these college universities and other post-secondary institutions like technical centers, adult career centers. So that's really what we mean by that. And I think a testament to whether we're doing a good job or not, 15 years ago, Ohio was a net loser in high school students to other states versus attracting students from other states to come to Ohio, we are now fourth best in the country in net migration of students. We attract more students from, how about that? And so I think that's testament to the quality of our institutions and some of the strategic investments and work that state officials have done to try to make and build this reputation. We're not done yet. When I was in the Senate, I always said that if you have a senator who's satisfied they've done enough, it's time for a new one. Well, I'm not ready for a new chancellor yet, so that's not up to me. But we have so much to do. We are so motivated to doing more. There's so much opportunity, and I'm excited about it. Thanks.
Doctor, I personally know how important it is for families to be involved in their children's education, and I'm sure some of the audience today knows that as well, how important it is for families to be involved in a children's education. So can you tell us a little bit about how you see family engagement contributing to student success and what you do at the department?
Yes, family community engagement is so important. We know even from research that the more families are engaged with their children's education and supports, that the more likely they will be in attendance at school, and then as a result, have quality interventions and supports, and then do better academically as well. So family engagement is very, very important. We have strong relationships at the department with a number of organizations to kind of help support family engagement. We, for example, have really a strong relationship with the Ohio PTA Association as one example. And in fact, PTAs, and I think some communities call them PTOs, are very important in helping families engage with school communities, and that is so important, and we really advocate for that as well. We also have an initiative where we're funding a family and community partnership liaison in every educational service center in Ohio, where there is one of these liaisons in each ESC, and their focus is to support families and students who are, again, students who are from our most vulnerable populations. So students who are in foster care or homeless or military-involved youth or English learners are some examples. But their efforts are really to help connect students and families with resources in the community and to help support connecting schools with those families as well. We also, with Ohio State University, have a great family engagement center, and they have a federal grant, and we partner with them, and they provide a lot of resources and supports for families across the state for all ages. They also really help us think about things like literacy, dyslexia, student well-being, and so they provide a lot of great resources and tools. So for those of you who may be interested in checking that out, they have a website, ohiofamiliesengaged.osu.edu, if you want to check it out. We also have a really important parent mentor program that has been around for nearly 30 years, and this is where parents of children with disabilities who have experience navigating the system of state and federal special education requirements, experienced families who have that can offer supports and services for families who are new to the process. And so that has been really important for our families in us facilitating and funding that effort. I also wanted to mention something called the Ohio ACE program, and we actually have our senior program officer in the audience today who's over our educational options area, Colleen Grady, but the program is called the Ohio After School Child Enrichment Educational Savings Account Program, and it's funded through federal COVID relief dollars. And this is a program that supports families by providing a $500 credit to families, eligible families, who can then use the dollars to access tutoring and other supports, after school programs, language classes, study skill services as examples. And again, this is so important in the context of the pandemic, getting additional extra supports. And so it's for any student between ages 6 and 18 who are 300% of the federal poverty level or below. And again, if you're interested in sharing this with either family networks or other networks that you might have, you can go to aceohio.org to get more information on that, or the department's website. So those are a few key initiatives.
Lots of ways for parents to get involved in the education, family members, community members, grandparents, all of those who are the village that help raise our children in Ohio. So thank you. I want to switch gears for a minute and talk to you both about Intel. Just a once-in-a-lifetime, a once-in-a-career opportunity for Ohio, and I think a shining achievement for the Dewine Houston administration. We are now Silicon Heartland, which is fantastic and awesome, and I love it, and there are T-shirts in case you need one. But just talk a little bit about what you both are doing, how you're partnering strategically to make sure that Ohioans are ready for the tech jobs that are coming along with Intel.
I'll start. Look, Intel is, talk about a momentum changer in terms of the Midwest. Any company that's thinking about locating anywhere in the greater Midwest has to call Ohio and say, you know, what's going on there? If not, there's some malfeasance going on in their company. I mean, this is the place to be. And at the very least, we're going to get a lot of people inquiring, and we know that there's a lot of additional activity out there that's really exciting for our state. Actually, education was, I think, one of the factors that helped Ohio win the Intel project. In fact, one of my favorite articles I read were some higher education people in another state were complaining that if we only did what Ohio did in higher education, maybe we would have been able to land that project, truly. And so that makes you feel pretty good, like at least we have a foundation here that's recognized and supported. But there's a lot of work to do. This is not a slam dunk. We've got to include our career centers, our technical centers, our community colleges, our universities. Again, talk about the all-of-the-above approach to getting there. And we have things already in place that have been very helpful in helping get that done. But it's not any one specific strategy. Intel has kind of driven, I mean, when they invest $20 billion, they get to have a little bit of say in how this works. So they've been a great partner in reaching out. We have grants that have gone out already, initial round of grants that have gone out. And we will have specific, and already do have, and we'll have some additional specific programs that get into engineering and technology and all kinds of things that will support the workforce. Not only at Intel, but then we'll provide supplier companies all over the state that will build out opportunities in every, literally in every county in Ohio. So great opportunity.
Ditto what the chancellor has said. And we have been doing a lot of work in this area. As I mentioned, workforce readiness is a huge priority for us in K-12 education. And this is such an exciting opportunity for us to, again, strengthen those business education partnerships that I mentioned. You know, I think that K-12 schools that include career technical education centers and schools themselves, and then partnering with higher education, it's going to be so critical. I know that local superintendents have been already sitting down with Intel to understand what the workforce needs will be so that schools can even begin thinking about how can they help, again, prepare children as they are starting to think about what's next, and even provide opportunities in high school for those on-the-job experiences or credentials, the industry-recognized credentials that the chancellor mentioned. I also think some of our collaborative work that the chancellor and I and our teams have been working on, where we have had the State Committee on Computer Science and the Computer Science Plan, that we've created this really strong set of recommendations through the State Committee that was made up of a broad set of stakeholders in Ohio who are experts in computer science. And those recommendations, I think, are going to be really important for us when we think about the needs for the future for computer science and related to manufacturing jobs that Intel will no doubt be focusing on. I think they have projected 3,000 high-tech manufacturing jobs. Jobs Ohio has been a critical partner, I think, in developing the short and long-term plan for Intel. And so again, K-12 education will definitely play a key role with our higher education community. So again, really eager and excited to continue that partnership as we prepare for it.
Could Could I just say, as I was sitting here thinking, what else should I have said? I was literally thinking computer science, and the leader of that for on the higher ed side of the computer science task force is Senior Vice Chancellor Mike Duffy, who I think Mike is here as well. And at least I thought he was going to be here. If he's not,
he's back at the office.
He still did a great job leading the task force. And so I just wanted to point that out, because that's going to permeate throughout. We're a little behind where we should be with computer science in this state, and the task force was really important, and we got to address the task force just a few weeks ago, and it was just a great honor to be a part of that and have people on our teams really help lead that.
Well, thank you both for the work you're doing. I think we just, as a state and as a community and as a state government, we're all truly excited about, what the future holds. So thank you both. I'm going to try to stay away from controversy, but ask you, Chancellor, student debt has been in the news lately, as an understatement. Lieutenant Governor Husted recently talked about how debt-free college is a possibility for all students in Ohio. And I wonder if you can speak about what students should do to prepare themselves as they plan for their educational future to be debt-free or close to debt-free, if possible, when they earn their degree.
Thought that might come up today. First of all, I hold in my hand said column by John Husted. Can you tell I work for the administration? I don't know. Debt-free college is very possible in Ohio. And actually, this was actually written over a year ago. This describes about as well as I've seen the various ways and pathways to reduce the cost of tuition. Just really well written, and the Lieutenant Governor especially has been promoting these pathways throughout the state. So this is on our website. If you want to get a copy or call me personally, I'll glad to send you a copy. But it really is challenging to get people to realize they got to complete the FAFSA. The FAFSA completion is a real challenge. We don't design the FAFSA. It's complicated. It's longer than it should be. It's a federal program. But that's pretty important. Let me say something about other things that we can do. For example, College Credit Plus, over $1 billion of prospective savings for college has been provided by the state of Ohio through the College Credit Plus program in the last 6 years. We've had over 6,000 high school students who got their associate's degree at college before they graduated from high school, over 6,000. So talk about reducing that overall tuition cost burden. There's significant opportunity to do that. Let me say something else about Ohio's efforts. Over the last 10 years, Ohio has the third lowest rate of growth in tuition of any state in the country, which surprises me. I'm going to say something else that you probably haven't heard before, but is demonstrably true, and that is that between 2007 and 2022, the actual price of tuition in the state, tuition and fees in Ohio, has actually gone up at four-year universities lower than the rate of inflation during that time, which is just really surprising to people. Now, arguably, Ohio was 15 years ago much higher than it should have been with respect to tuition versus other states. We were about 150% of the national average. So we're still not where we need to be yet. We have some more work to do with need-based aid and scholarships like Choose Ohio First and other programs. But the bottom line is, it's more affordable than I think some people think, especially when you look at net tuition price. Very few people pay, when you go to a car dealer, pay the price that's on the sticker, right? And most people in Ohio don't pay that when they go to college. Now, I'm sure I'll get some cards and letters from people saying, I did. But what I tell this, and I even say this in front of university presidents, 30 of them this morning, I said this exact thing. When I see a family or student, I say, tell the university that's not what you want to pay. Tell them what you're willing to pay. They want you as a student. Have them work on they do more institutional aid. There's need-based aid. There's other scholarships. There's real opportunity if Ohioans will give it a chance and find out how affordable it may be. And it could be at a technical center. It could be at a career center. It could be at a community college or a four-year public or private university. The bottom line is it has become more affordable. I know this is against the typical stereotype, but it's more affordable now today, taking all things into consideration, than it was 15 years ago in Ohio, and we're making it as affordable as we can every year. So that's my quick down and of it. It's there's so much more I could say about it, but the bottom line is I believe it's still a wise investment. College degrees, post-secondary credentials, those people with those degrees have higher wages, they have lower unemployment rates, and they have much better health outcomes. And these aren't my statistics. You can look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Census Bureau data. It's pretty clear. It doesn't mean for every person in every occupation. And we have the second most number of apprenticeships in the country in Ohio. We have great trades programs in Ohio, another great option for students. So our job is to make all of these options available to young people and their families and encourage them to choose the path that's right for them.
So an Ohio education is still a great value for those that choose to pursue that as a advanced degree. So grade cards. So last week, your department issued grade cards, and you moved from grades to stars. I didn't want to steal your thunder. I hope you have many talking points. I really, I'm a consumer of the state report card. I would ask if you would just tell us a little bit about what you think the report cards told us. I think your department tried to prepare schools and parents and students for, you know, what happened post-pandemic and as we move forward. But what do they tell us about where we are, where our Ohio kids are?
Thank you, Director. School report cards. So just a little context, and then I'll kind of get to what they told us. So as Director Madden indicated, the report card system was just recently revised through legislation, and the State Board of Education, who governs the Department of Education, set rules with regard to those changes. And as Director Madden indicated, we moved from an A to F system to a star rating system. And so in making those shifts, we were really trying to make sure that as we made the adjustment, which of course would be a transition as a consumer, thinking from an A to F to a star, there's a lot of attempt to kind of compare the two, right? But we wanted to make sure it was a fair, valid representation of schools. We also wanted to make sure it conveyed transparency. We also wanted to make sure there was a bit of transition time. So you just mentioned the pandemic, right, has had an impact. And so we wanted to make sure that schools could have a bit of transition, because we have to think in terms of how cut scores are set and how those grade levels, star levels, sorry, see, I even have trouble adjusting to the language, how the star adjustment is made. So the kind of high points of what we saw is that there are early signs of recovery in what schools are accomplishing. So that is good news. Achievement levels did go up, and it went up so at the state level, but also for all student subgroups. We saw that performance showed increases, and so that's good. But we still know there is a lot to go for us in terms of supports in order for us to get to pre-pandemic levels even. So that's why, again, all the interventions I've been talking about are so important that we focus on. But I think, again, to your, probably to all of you as consumers in your communities, it just tells one part of the picture. So we always want communities and schools to think about how, think about the bigger picture of a school. So we always want conversations, visits to schools, and discussions with community members to really understand the full picture of what's going on in a community. But we're very excited. We feel like the new report card system kind of aligned with our principles and goals and expectations. So we're excited about what we've seen in terms of the implementation. But it is telling us we still need to very much support our students and families. So.
Ohio is a leading state when it comes to services for our military veterans and family and servicemen and women. And in recognition of General Ashenhurst's presence, I have a question for you on this topic. So what do you both do? What do your agencies do? How do you support
our military families through initiatives at the department and at the Department of Higher Education.
Thank you. So I'll mention a few things. And to start, one of the exciting programs we have is the Purple Star Award that recognizes K-12 schools. And the chancellor will talk about the new higher education program. But it does show commitment to students and families who are connected to the military. You know, it's just so important that we recognize and honor military service members and the fact that they may need additional supports because they are transitioning into communities and need additional supports to connect to resources. So the Purple Star Award also identifies schools that have a main point of contact to be that liaison to students and families. And then it also just recognizes the help and supports that they provide. We actually just celebrated the fifth year of the Purple Star Award with 94 new Ohio schools receiving the award and then 169 schools earning a three-year renewal. And so, you know, that means over 400 schools in Ohio are designated as Purple Star schools, so that's so important. I also wanted to mention how important it is for us to think about how veterans can support us as educators, and I cannot say enough about my partnership with Veteran Services and General Ashenhurst and her advocacy and passion. We are really trying to think about how can we support veterans in entering the teaching profession, and that we want to, you know, we're thinking about new initiatives that we can recommend. But some of what we've done already is to kind of, we do not charge fees for educator licenses for veterans or their spouses. So that's a program that we've put into place. And then we're working on some new things that we're excited about. I won't get into that right now because we're in the midst of the budget proposal, as Director Murnix knows. Budget proposal process. Or yeah, maybe we should ask her if she's willing to support that now. But also really appreciate the partnership with the chancellor because we do a lot of work in thinking about the educator pipeline, you know, thinking about supporting. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll let the chancellor respond.
Well, Dr. Siddons said most of what could be said about Purple Star, but I'm not sure she said Ohio was the first state in the country in 2017 for the K-12 Purple Star program, number one in the country. And sometimes Ohioans don't appreciate some of the things we do really well. One of the things we do really well, and it's gotten even stronger under Governor DeWine, is supporting veterans and supporting education opportunities for veterans. So what happened with higher education? Well, we became the first state in the country this March to have a collegiate Purple Star designation, first one in the entire country. And I'm certain that people will read that in other states, just like the K-12 Purple Star. I think there's like 30-some states that have it up by now because of Ohio's leadership. That's going to happen in higher education, too. So we do the same types of things, support families, provide, make sure we open and break down barriers, open doors, and provide more direct assistance. Because one thing that military families often do is they move from place to place often, so it's just difficult just getting the information flow appropriate to those families. Other things we do for veterans, we have a National Guard scholarship that's really strong. And by the way, General Ashenhurst and General Harris, of Adjutant General, and Governor DeWine, if it wasn't for those three, we would not have been able to have our Collegiate Purple Star be as strong as it was. So personal thanks to other members of the administration. But the National Guard scholarship's been ongoing for many years. We have a War Orphan Scholarship Program that supports disabled veterans, their families. And so just a variety of things that Ohio does well, and perhaps many Ohioans don't realize just how supportive the state has been. And, you know, the governor said early on, we need to be about doing everything we can for the men and women who wear the uniform, and we have tried to do that as intensely as we can.
And thank you both so much for your work, and General, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So part of the benefit of this series is I get to ask questions about things that affect me personally.
Oh, boy. I didn't think that was on.
It's not on your outline.
It's not on the outline.
But, Doctor, you addressed it in part with encouraging veterans to become teachers. I come from a family of educators and have many school-age children, and I have noticed the teacher shortage, particularly in rural area. I live in a rural area. I think it's incredibly hard, or it seems harder than it used to be, to attract educators to certain areas and to the profession generally. So do you mind just sharing with us a little bit about what the work you're doing in your department and the department is doing in partnership with Governor DeWine's real focus in this area?
Yes. So again, I'll cite our great partnership with Chancellor Gardner, and we've been really focused on this, and we have brought together the deans of teacher preparation in colleges of education or in the institutions across Ohio that have teacher preparation programs to really help us focus on understanding what the issues are, looking at data, addressing the teacher pipeline needs, and also diversifying the educator workforce. So some of what we've been doing is convening those deans and meeting together. Our teams convene them on a regular basis, and the chancellor and I have had a chance to address them, and we had a really lovely in-person meeting, I think that was at the beginning of the summer, where we had a chance to really talk through, like, what are we seeing in the data, how can we come together. So one of the great things we're doing is, again, this was out of the work that they were doing collaboratively at the dean's level. They're hosting regional meetings throughout the state of Ohio to facilitate conversations to bring together communities, schools, business, higher education, other leaders who can help us talk through how do we address shortages. Because I think some of what we're understanding is that it's, while it is a nationwide problems and statewide issue, it's also very important that communities come together because schools need to talk to the higher education community to really think through what are the specific needs, what are the shortage areas. It may look a little different. I know deans get calls from schools to say, hey, do you have any graduates that you can send over in this area. So we've been trying to really talk through that. So that's some of what we've been doing. And then at the department, we've also, through legislation, created a reinstatement license to help teachers who may have expired licenses to get a reinstatement of their license through kind of faster means. And so that's something we've put in place. But we're also looking to create any other resources. So we are working on the development of a human capital resource center that can provide supports to schools. And that's through a relationship we have with Battelle for Kids. And then we also have a partnership with Management Council of the Ohio Education Computer Network. And so they're helping us kind of think through. They're posting an online jobs board as one example to make it easier for both educators and schools to post any openings, and we're also then looking to kind of expand and reach out to former educators to understand the why they're not coming back, for example. So those are some things that I can mention, but we're always about finding what can happen at the local level and grow your own program. So I know the chancellor and I and our teams have really tried to think through that as well.
Chancellor?
Yes. Well, we had a partnership, $5.2 million of federal, trying to spend the federal dollars we received as smart as we can to make a difference long term. Because you can't just build a budget with one-time monies like that, but you can find out, you can do pilot programs, and you can learn. And so we have about 30 grants that went out, partnership between ODE and the Department of Higher Education, to learn more about geographical challenges, specific coursework, subject matter area shortages, and diversity issues. They all were really important, so we have a variety of grants, a variety of pilot programs out there that we'll learn a great deal about it. Part of it is, I think, also to respect, and talk about coming from education. When I was in the middle of my fifth year teaching high school history and government, I received a phone call from the incumbent state representative saying that Governor Celeste had appointed him to the cabinet, so a cabinet brought me into the legislature by appointment, and the cabinet took me out. But both rewarding experiences. But I say that because my family, my dad was president of the state administrators association. My mom was a teacher's aide. My sister's a guidance counselor. My brother is right now a principal. My other brother's a former teacher. So value a lot the profession. I think it's partly about just respecting and valuing the teaching profession. For what it is, one of the most important things we can do. And if we're going to elevate higher education, If we're going to encourage people to go in the kinds of fields that can make a real difference, we're going to need to have those high school students, in part, be inspired by teachers who also believe in this state and in these careers. So I think we're all in this together. And it goes all the way down to what Fran DeWine is doing, helping with reading from 0 to 5 with the Dolly Parton reading series. So we are trying to truly cover the breadth and depth of everything that matters in education, but teaching is one of our most important things. The governor just two weeks ago sent an email about additionally what are we doing there and how can we do more. So it's always on the governor's mind. And with our partnership, we're going to learn more, and we're going to make some real progress in the state.
It is indeed a noble profession, and just thank you both so much for focusing on it. And thank you for bringing up the Imagination Library. I know many of you have heard about it. If you haven't, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library of Ohio offers free books to children from birth through age 5, and First Lady DeWine, who you know that family and children mean so much to her. It's such a privilege to see this program grow and multiply. And as state employees, we're going to give you all the resources you can to not only enroll children, your children, but take it back to your communities, and let's increase that enrollment as well. So I just have a few reminders before we thank our guests. Please save the date for our next Perspective Series session. It's October 25th at noon. And we will welcome very special guests from the Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities. He's here to wave again. And the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission. And we'll shift our focus to recognize National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And lastly, while I have your attention, please, a reminder that our Ohio Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Commission is accepting nominations for its annual awards program through the end of October. So if you have not already done so, there's still plenty of time for you to nominate someone special as an individual or organization. And you can learn more on MyOhio or das.ohio.gov. DAS does support the work of the commission, and we are just so very honored to do so. So again, just my sincerest gratitude to both of you for making time in your schedules and for educating all of us. We thank you for the work that you're doing, and we know it's incredibly important, and keep on doing all that great work. Thank you.
Thanks for
thank you all for being here.
Thank you.